3D printing has provided experts and the general public the opportunity to bring unexpected items to life in their own homes or garages, including musical instruments and works of art. But what about weapons? Guns produced by 3D printers are increasing, and that has brought concerns with it. Should that development bring additional regulations along with it? Is it simply part of innovation that we'll need to adjust to? With me to talk about that and other tech advances is Andrew Maynard, director of ASU's Risk Innovation Lab. Andrew, are you concerned about 3D weapons? Is it inevitable to some extent?
I guess it is inevitable. I'm not that concerned at the moment, but there are some really interesting and perhaps some slightly more concerning possibilities. What is really interesting, of course, is that now with 3D printers, instead of going down to the local store or local gun dealer and buying a gun, you can just download blueprints from the web and print your own. In principle, in practice, it's a little bit more difficult.
What would it mean to actually have a 3D printer and be able to make, I'm not talking about making some model for someone, but actually a gun, something that actually would be effective and work?
Right. So the way it works at the moment is you can get a fairly cheap 3D printer, $300 or so, that uses some sort of plastic like ABS maybe. And there are blueprints out there, if you can find them. They're actually illegal now, but you can still find them, which will allow you to print out plastic parts for a gun and then clip them together with a couple of extra bits like an elastic band and stuff. And effectively, you've got something that will shoot a bullet. Now, there's a problem that it's made of plastic, so it's not that reliable, but you can actually shoot a bullet.
There's so much progress involved in it, but there are also pitfalls, of course.
Right.
When it comes to 3D printing or other innovations we're seeing, is this, again, a question of sort of human nature and we're not sure whether to be positive or negative?
So I think with every technology, we find that there are pros and cons. The technology is neutral. It's what people do with it, which really raises issues. And we're always trying to find this balance between the really positive things you can do with tech. Without a doubt, technologies like 3D printing can change people's lives for the better. But there's always that downside. And sometimes the downsides are obvious, like somebody making a weapon. Sometimes they're not obvious, like putting people out of business. If you find that you have a new way of manufacturing things that suddenly makes the old ways obsolete, you've got a social problem.
How about the question of regulation, which comes up often?
Yep.
And the idea is, are we encouraging innovation? Do we encourage to a point, but there are also dangers? Are we often too late with regulation because technology advances beyond it?
We're too late, we're too crude, without a doubt. So we have this problem that what we can do with science and technology is progressing way ahead of the questions we even know how to ask with regulation. So that's a problem. But it's especially a problem where things start to go wrong. And this is the weird part of this. Obviously, if you have a technology that's going to harm people or harm the environment, that's a very clear problem. But actually, it's a problem for innovation as well, because if innovators invest a lot of time and money in creating something and all of a sudden discover that people won't buy it because it's harmful, they've wasted all that time. So there is a secret side of regulation that helps innovators see a path forward towards beneficial technologies. And if we can't work out how to get regulation to keep up with the technology, you lose that opportunity.
So with the combination of innovation and then the fact that people have such great access because of the web and whatnot,
yep.
Does this fall into the category at times of a little knowledge is a dangerous thing?
Of course. On the other hand, that's where some of the really great innovations come from as well. So again, a two-edged sword. Mm-hmm. So there are one or two things that are certain here. There are huge uncertainties. One of the certainties is that somebody's going to do something stupid with new technologies. So that's a given. But it means that rather than just stop those stupid things, because that's how we make progress, we've got to work out how to spot the stupid things early enough so we actually steer things towards good outcomes.
Are there certain aspects of things that really, certainly we've heard about in medical, healthcare, whatnot, are there certain things in innovation, in science that may even seem a little bit risky now, but really seem to have great promise that you've heard about that you're excited about?
I must confess here, I'm a scientist, a physicist. My default position is to get really excited about everything. And then I have to rein myself back and ask the really tough questions. But the things that are really intriguing me at the moment, and I must confess quite exciting me, are what happens when you get a mashing together of different technologies. So for instance, you take artificial intelligence and robotics and gene technologies, genetic technologies. That's where the really weird, cool, and maybe slightly frightening stuff comes. So for an example, say you decide you want to use the genetic code to create either a brand new organism, or you want to create some way of solving a genetic disease or even making somebody bigger, stronger, better than they are. We just don't have the brains to be able to do that. The genetic code is really way too complex. But in principle, we could train artificial intelligences to understand how the code works at a level where they can actually design the fixes that we're looking for. Mm-hmm. Now, to me, that's quite mind-blowing because now you're beginning to recode life, but we're getting computers to do it.
I love that your default is to be excited because it often seems, there was a video I saw of a robot that was doing backflips and had unbelievable agility and whatnot.
Right.
And some of the people I talked to were thinking, that's scary because then the robot could do something horrible to me, as opposed to thinking of the positive things. Do you find that there is a disconnect sometimes between those in science and those not?
I don't think it's between those in science and those not, but definitely you have people that are, they err more on the side of caution and seeing the bad side, and those that err more on the side of excitement. Mm-hmm. But one of the problems we find is that when the questions are hypothetical, people divide because they've got no stake in the game. It's when you make things very, very practical that things begin to sort of merge together. So for instance, you imagine, say we didn't have smartphones these days, and you were talking to people hypothetically about whether a smartphone that could track where you were and you could always check your email and people always were in touch with you was a good thing or bad thing. You can imagine people dividing. Mm-hmm. The reality is when they get their hands on it, they want it. And I think that's the same with a lot of technology. Once you've experienced it, you're much more inclined to see the benefits of it.
As things evolve, does the notion of what is conventional have to change? Or in some ways, will we have always sort of that base, that foundation from which to jump from?
So I think that our idea of conventional changes really fast, like in months or sort of a year or so. So what we considered to be completely impossible last year is now considered completely normal. So what you actually find is we assimilate new technologies incredibly fast, and we get bored with them incredibly fast as well. Now, that's good if you're an innovator and you want the freedom to be able to do interesting things, because people don't care once they've been exposed to something. But it does mean we've got to be really careful about the decisions we make, because it's easy to make decisions that could harm people that people just aren't aware of.
Andrew Maynard is director of the Risk Innovation Lab at ASU.